Welcome to The Rework with Allison Tyler Jones, a podcast dedicated to inspiring portrait photographers to uniquely brand, profitably price, and confidently sell their best work. Allison has been doing just that for the last 15 years, and she's proven that it's possible to create unforgettable art and run a portrait business that supports your family and your dreams. All it takes is a little rework. Episodes will include interviews with experts from in and outside of the photo industry, mini workshops, and behind-the-scenes secrets that Allison uses in her portrait studio every single day. She will challenge your thinking and inspire your confidence to create a profitable, sustainable portrait business you love through continually refining and reworking your business. Let's do the rework.
Hi, friends, and welcome back to The Rework. Today's guest is Seshu Badrinath, a photographer from Connecticut, who is also a member of our Mindshift membership and an alumni of our Art of Selling Art course. And you can kind of think of today's episode as a little bit of a private coaching call mixed with just talk and shop with another photographer. Seshu knows who his ideal client is. He knows who he works with, and he has a great business. He's been in business for 20 years, but he also has some specific questions for me about what do you do to get the phone to ring during slow times? Like if you're marketing, what are you doing to market right now? So I share with him what we've done for some of our recent marketing efforts, how we get the phone to ring. And then we talk about all things business, marketing. There's some great things that he's doing. I had some ideas specifically for his business that he could maybe market in some interesting ways. And then we talked about kind of the dream of where he wants to go, some new initiatives, new product lines, and new ways of shooting that he wants to delve into. And so I think that you're going to really find some good takeaways on marketing, what you can be doing in your business right now that will help you moving forward. So let's do it. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. And you've just been all over, you're just all over social media all the time.
Oh, yeah. Well, keeps me out of trouble, keeps me busy. And, it is interestingly a way I'm hearing a lot of people starting to see my work. And It's taken a while. I'll be honest with you. It's not like an overnight thing at all. It's been a while. Nope. I just received an inquiry a couple of days ago for an engagement event and a graduation event. And I asked her, I said, where did you find me? And she's like, oh, I see your posts on our local, parent forums. So in addition to posting on the main feed, as they call it, I'm involved in the local groups as well, because that's where moms and dads and business people all sort of hang out,
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's just networking. It's the public square,
Yeah, yeah. And, there are some rules, of course. You can only post on Thursdays between these hours and all this crazy. It's a lot of craziness. But once you get into a rhythm and you just say, okay, it's Thursday, what can I share with these folks? You just post it and hopefully the admins aren't drunk or whatever. And they say, okay.
So, that's awesome. I love that. Well, I'm glad that you're finding success there. So for our listeners that don't know who you are, tell us your name, where you're located, what you do, all the things.
So my name is Seshu Badrinath, and I usually am referred to as Seshu, the photographer in town. I'm a photographer. I've been a photographer for 25 years in Avon, Connecticut, small little town west of Hartford. And much of my work sort of revolves around working with private schools, working with, usually business owners or business professionals, I like to call them, who are either, not quite C-level, but maybe a couple of steps below, and they're sort of reaching for the stars. And a good portion of my work also revolves around working with high school seniors. So I do have that diverse portfolio for folks who are interested in working with me versus the one thing, because I live in Connecticut, it's cold most of the time. So being able to provide a variety of services throughout the year has helped me and my business, I think, over the years. So
yeah,
and this
that's
is
great.
I mean, full disclosure, it's quiet right now, you know.
Of course.
With the exception, of course, with the private school, which thankfully I have a good relationship with, and I go in once in a while to photograph classrooms and sports and things like that.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. But, you know, I'm waiting for things to warm up.
Yeah. First quarter. It's in the Northeast United States. It's going to be chilly. I love that. Well, so what do you want to talk about today?
I would love to know maybe the top three, top five things you'd recommend photographers, not just me, but other photographers who are all in the Northeast waiting for the thaw, the big thaw to come, you know, be able to say, do this now so that, you know, in April or May or June, you're going to be slammed with great work, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's where we need to go for this conversation. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm happy to talk about whatever. The thing that I love about what you just said is that you really know who your clients are. Like you have a very clear idea of, like, you're working with private schools, business owners, professionals, like you said, just below C-suite, like just even that, you know, that strata, like, I think is really important. And then high school seniors. And so when you know so well who your clients are, you know how to talk to them and where they're at. And so where are your clients at this time of year, right? So high school seniors, probably not percolating just yet, right? But for me, with high school seniors, this is the time of year where we are sending out, we just sent out a promotional email to our database that said, you know, graduation time is family portrait time. So if you have a senior that's graduating, because I'm not doing huge contracts of seniors where you have to shoot it in the summer before, like the year before. So most of our seniors were shooting just a couple of months before the actual graduation. And I prefer that. So, but clients are kind of trained to start looking for photographers the year before. So they might call and say, hey, my kid's graduating. So right now they might say, my kid's graduating 2026. When do I need to do portraits? And I'd say, you know, I like them to look in the portraits like they look about the time they're going to graduate. Because, you know, boys' hair is crazy. I don't know if you know this, but boys' hair is crazy right now. It's crazy.
I've got two boys.
Yeah. I don't know what's happening. I don't know who's talking about this mullet. I don't know. It's crazy. So
they call it the mop, by the way.
Yes. The mop, the mullet, all of the things. So, you know, that might be different. You know, if they're graduating 2026, it might change, right? I want to photograph the 2025 seniors right now, March, April. I don't want to be shooting them in May because that's too close to the time and it's too rushed and it's too, I don't like that. So I want to be like, you know, February, March. So I'll just let them know, look, we'll call you in January. We'll get you booked. Or if you want to book it now, let's go ahead and book it in like March, April. And if they're graduating in May. So we just sent that out. And we probably sent it out about a week late. So normally we would send that in February. And so that's always good. So I know where the high school seniors are. And then, you know, you would ask yourself, okay, where are the professionals at? Where are they at right now? Are they updating their websites? Is this the time? I think first quarter is a great time to get the B2B stuff, right? The business to business, where people are like, you know, we have one email that we sent out that has like a before and after picture. Like one client came in and she has the poorly lit with a palm tree growing out of the back of her head photo that somebody took of her professional photo that was on her LinkedIn, and then what we did for her. And so it was like, or we'd say, you know, when people meet you, are you unrecognizable to the average person that's seen your profile picture because it's 20 years old or whatever, you know? So something, we always kind of have a little bit of fun and funny in our promotion. So definitely if we had a time machine and could go back to January 1st, it would be start promoting all of the headshot business stuff like that first quarter, because you're not shooting it outside.
Yeah.
Generally, you're going to shoot, I mean, you have a studio, you're shooting that stuff in studio. And then business owners, you know, those are people that typically will have families. And so we're on the phone with our existing clientele constantly. And we know what's going on. We have a database of who is, like, we haven't seen in a couple of years. They have a kid that's graduating, or they said, hey, you know what? Maybe we contacted them last year and they said, okay, call me in 2025. So we have our tickler file of people that we already know that we need to be contacting. And you know how it is now. You can't ever get a hold of anybody the first time. So you just got to keep calling them, you know, constantly.
Do you typically have a team member who does that for you, or do
Absolutely.
You do that for yourself?
I mean, yeah, both. So I have a client coordinator, and her primarily her job is just to every morning she comes in, and that first hour, like 9 to 10, she's just like, you know, have what's come in input, and then who does she need to contact or follow up with? And so she's just on that for like the first couple of hours, and then she's doing all the other things that she needs to do. If we divide up the list, because we have certain clients that I need to be contacting, like that they won't respond to anybody but me.
Well, I see. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes it's just like that.
Do you feel though that, you know, for a solopreneur like myself, it would make sense to either work with a VA to be able to get those calls, initial calls done, and then have them pass it off to me once the connections been made again or reconnections been made?
It would have to be so you're saying a VA, which is for those who don't know, a virtual assistant.
Sorry.
It would have to be the right person. Turning over my calendar and my calls was probably one of the last things I did when I started to hire people. Like I hired for retouching, I hired for design, I hired for a lot of things. And I let that go. That was one of the last things I let go because this is a high touch business, right? And so they want to know that they're dealing with, say, you're the photographer, right? And you want to be saying things in a certain way, and you want to let them feel all the things. It can't just be like, okay, it's time for your teeth cleaning. So yeah, well, so it could be a VA, but it could be, you know, it could just be you. You could just say, okay, on my calendar, every Tuesday and Thursday morning for an hour, I'm going to reach out and just mow through it. Most people can handle that. But when you have it in your head, like that it's this big thing that I've got to make a program or a process or whatever, then you never do it.
I love that structure though. I think that's important for people like me who are usually like overthinking it. Like,
yeah.
You know, we have all these names that we remember having conversations with, and, you know, they've said in passing, oh yeah, give me a call about family sessions. And then they get dropped off, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Right. And we're also the first person to be like, I need a new marketing idea. I just need more marketing. I just need more clients. Okay. Well, what about all the people at the last networking event that gave you their cards or that gave you their contact information and you never called them? You know, we all have that and we all do it. But if you just, how many hours a day are we spending on social media or on our phone?
Yeah.
A lot, right? Yeah. So if you're going to be on your phone anyway, maybe just like, okay, in order to earn my social media time, right? I have to send 10 texts to either a contact, whatever, you will be booked before you know it.
Awesome. Great idea.
Our phone does not ring. Like we would not be booked if we were not reaching out to clients because everybody is so busy. They want it. They want to update. They want to have senior pictures of their kids. They want to have family portraits. But how many times, like you've been in business for a long time, how many times have you run into somebody that you thought basically has been cheating on you for years, you know, or like that they came to you once and they never came back, right? And you see them in the grocery store with their kids who are now like 5 or 10 years older. And what do they say? What do they say? I am so sad that we didn't come back in. We should have come back in and now they're so much older and blah, blah, blah. So it's not that they don't want it. They want it, but we have to be the ones to keep on their radar and to remind them. And they can tell us, you know what? We're going to be in Mexico. We're going to get some photographer down there to do it on the beach, but next year we will. They want it. And so then it's like, okay, you know what? We'll call you next year. No big deal. So it's not a pressure thing. So we take that on ourselves to remind.
So when you talk about sending promotions and emails and things like that, I assume you have a way of segmenting each of those folks at some point. They've decided, you know, they've come in at a certain time, you know, in their lives, whether it was right after a wedding or if the first baby or whatever. So do you keep tabs on all that in a certain way? And how do you coordinate all of that promotional mailing from your end?
Well, so again, you're doing exactly what we all do. You're making it harder than it has to be, right? So it's literally just, we use Monday.com, which is kind of like a project management software. And I have a Monday board set up that is our client calling board. And we just duplicate it every year. So it kind of like has all of our, you know, clients that we are kind of regulars. And then we have notes of what's been going on there. It's super messy. It's not great. So it's not like, I'm not going to go dump this into some big email service provider. This isn't like Flowdesk or MailChimp or Constant Contact or anything like that. Now, that email that I just told you about that went out to our entire client base about, you know, that graduation time is family portrait time, that went to our entire database. Okay. But these others, it's just really one-on-one. Like, I don't have thousands of customers. We do 80 to 100 sessions a year. And most of those, and 60% of those are repeat. So I can keep track of that. When you are a very high touch, low volume business, you can keep track of people, and people feel that. They feel that high touch when it's not some overly produced HTML situation.
Gotcha.
It's a personal email from Seishu saying, hey, I just saw on social media, and usually it's a text, on, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Now, your business people, your business owners, your professionals, they're going to probably be more email. But all of my moms, it's all text. So I'm, you know, ripping off a picture from the last time, you know, I'm saying to you, if it was you, of your boys. Okay, Seishu, the boys were 5. I know they're 10 now. What's going on? You know, I need to see them. You need to call me because I know they're getting older, you know, and then it's like, oh, he's thinking, you know, she's thinking about me. And we did have such a good time, and we do need to do that. And, or you know what? It's too crazy right now. Call me in October.
Wow. I mean, it doesn't sound, I mean, when you lay it out like that, it doesn't sound very time intensive or complicated at all.
You know. It's not. You do need to have a place where you have them. But honestly, you know, if you have the bare minimum, which is like a database, like you have a list of your clients. Do you have that?
I do. Yeah.
I know you do. Okay. Yeah. So you have a list. Literally, I think there is magic in printing that list and laying on your couch with a pen and just looking at it and just thinking, you know, say she has those 2 boys. We did them when they were this age. What, I wonder what they're doing right now. Go on social media. What are they doing? Oh my gosh, they're playing baseball. He's playing football. Chime in. Saw that he just won an award. You know, and then so then I'm just making out a note to the side. You know, his oldest just won an award. They just went on a vacation to Paris, you know, and just little notes. And you have, it is so weird. And you know that you've had this happen. You'll wake up in the morning, you'll be like, I wonder what's going on with Mr. Jones, that family. And then they'll call you that day. It's like a weird thing. I really do think there's power in that, like of just keeping your clients in your mind. And it's not like a, how can I get more out of these people? It's like, what do they need?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I have always led with service in mind. And so when it comes down to it, I should feel more comfortable calling them or contacting them with that idea that, hey, I'm here to serve. Let's connect or reconnect. You know, it's been a while, you know? And so that's, that's a beautiful thing. I mean, I can see myself doing that definitely on a Tuesday or a Thursday or whatever day. Pick a day, right? You know, and just go for it.
When you signed up for, you were in our boot camp pre-ASA, and then when you took the artist seminar, what was most helpful for you that you got out of that whole situation?
Full disclosure here and a moment of true vulnerability here. I am a bit scatterbrained. And
as are we all.
I think we all are. I would say your course gave me structure. I think more than anything else, it just gives me sort of a way of going back to my, either the actual presentation or the PDFs, which are beautifully designed, of course, and just sort of walk myself through the idea of the ideas we've just discussed, you know? And so some of the things we've just talked about, in fact, sort of are like, wait a minute, I've heard this before, you know?
So,
I'm not surprised that you're repeating it to me in the way that I should hear it, but also that I should say, okay, well, this is something that's already covered in the course. Just go back to the course, you know, find refuge in the course. Because I think there's a ton of gold there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, there's a lot of things that just need to be in play. And I am working through it step by step. I can't claim that I've done it fully or anything like that.
Yeah, of course.
I'm working through it.
I would look at you and I would say, and I would probably, I put myself in this category too. I think some of us are just education junkies. Like we just love to learn. We want to know more, like whatever the latest thing is, we're going to get it. But the problem sometimes comes in as like the application, right? You know, there's two different things. There's one is you buy all this education, you never apply anything, which I don't, that's not you. Then there's people that like execute too quickly before they've really thought about it. And they're going off like in a million different directions, following all these different advices. And then they're like, wait, I don't even know what works and what's really me. Is any of that resonating?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, there's a point at which I, you know, I have to sort of look at the coursework and say, okay, how do I apply this to my particular situation? You know, right. I'm working with a more local mentor to go back and forth on really defining who that audience is, that target client is, you know, working mm-hmm. on understanding what motivates them and then being present for them in that space where they're ready to say, yes, I need exactly what you have because that's what I need right now. You know, help me with this problem, right? The earlier version of me was rather quick at pitching services and products without understanding what my client's sort of inner goals may have been. You know, I think that's a mistake I think a lot of people make in this business.
Sure. And yeah, you're selling what you want to sell and so you're just hoping that everybody can buy it. Yeah.
And then the other mistake I think I was doing, and this is something you've been very good about helping me correct, is offering everything under the sun, right?
Yeah.
This is a huge problem. And thanks to you, I only talk about albums and wall art. That's it.
And, I love it. That makes me so happy.
It makes my life easy.
And not only makes your life easy, it makes your client's life easy.
Absolutely.
Because then we don't need to like, we're doing that. And then of course there's a million permutations in between of all that, but we don't need to talk about the permutations. We just need to talk about this lane or that lane. So if you had a like magic wand and you could only shoot what you wanted to shoot, like what is that? Like what do you just love?
That's a great question. I just wrapped up going to a local conference, a photography conference, and I was thinking about this very question throughout the conference. And I would say the thing that lights me up the most is probably photographing people in their environment. I know you're a studio photographer.
I love that.
Pocket. I mean, that's your work is phenomenal. And I mean, not just phenomenal, it's distinguishable. Like you can say from 2 miles away, hey, this is Allison's work, right?
Wow, I mean, you're so nice.
No, it's true. I would say my love is for environmental portraits. They're difficult, challenging.
Yeah, for sure.
But I really find myself loving that kind of challenge, that kind of stress.
That problem solving is addictive, right? It's like, because when you figure it out, it's like, I do love environmental portraiture also, same, you know, but the studio is my true love. Yeah. So I love that for you. So how can we get more of that, right? So, because I think when you're selling, when you're really putting out there what is your unique, what you love to do and how you see it, you know, why not?
Yeah. And as far as who is being photographed, I don't think it really matters as much as the fact that it is an environmental portrait. You know, it could be a high school senior. It could be a business professional. It could be, you know, somebody in the private school sector, whoever it is, you know, it's just that experience of creative problem solving on the go and trying to do the best you can. You know, it's not always going to work, but that's okay. You know,
well, and I think one of the things that just and seeing you a little bit on social media that I do, some of the stuff that you post, I think something that you could really, that would really draw those clients to you is bringing them in to that process as you're trying to figure it out. Cause you know, you'll put up about like, okay, we're doing this headshot thing and we're doing, you know, whatever, and you're letting them know what you're doing, but like, are you letting them know how you're doing it? Because I think with environmental portraiture, and one of the masters of environmental portraiture is Michael Taylor, the hard thing about environmental portraiture is that sometimes the uninitiated client doesn't see the difference between some shoot and burner and who doesn't have the skill set and somebody who really does. And so you walking them through that process of like, okay, here's our shooting environment today. I'm going to try to figure this out. We've got a conference room full of crap with some bad drywall and some crap overhead lighting. And so here are my challenges. I'm looking at fluorescent overhead lighting. I'm trying to figure out this, blah, 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 blah. Here's what happens when you use overhead fluorescent lighting. You show something like that and they see something that looks like everybody else has, right? And then you show them how you went in and crafted it and kind of did like a whole behind the scenes of that. Like that is going to get, that's going to attract your C-suite. Because that is where you're going to be like, this has got to count, right? And then for the C-suite guy, they need the environmental, like the thing that projects power, that projects authority, that's got like, what do you have in the background? You know, like you can't watch, you know, like right now, everything they're, you know, broadcasting stuff from the White House Oval Office, right? There's nothing in that picture that has not been put there on purpose. There is not one book on a table. There is not one portrait on the wall that has not been put there on purpose to send a message, right? And so you're saying the same thing. So as you're consulting with these C-suite guys or these, you know, right now you're not C-suite. So now these are the next level, but you're like, okay, how do you want to look C-suite? Because that's where you're headed, right? And so you're helping them get where they want to go using your skill set and then their idea. So you're collaborating, right?
That's right.
And then you're documenting that and showing why you need a professional versus somebody with a good camera. And how it's different that, you know, yes, here's environmental. Okay. And then here's environmental, you know, that's been crafted, you know? And so I would say, I don't know if you follow Art Streber on Instagram. It's at AS Pictures. Yeah. He is freaking genius.
Absolutely.
Love him. Yes. He's like a photographer's photographer.
I've actually asked him, hey, why don't you come out with a book so we can all learn from this? Because, but totally. His Instagram just is my favorite. Absolutely.
Yeah, he's the best. So I think that kind of a shtick, right? You could look at that and I think you could do something like that with your business purchase, I think would be so interesting. And also with the seniors, because again, that's environmental portraiture. So if I was going to go back to environmental portraiture, and I said, I'm tired of studio. I'm going to go back to environmental portraiture. That's what I would do. That's how I would pitch it. That's how I would sell it. That's how I would talk about it. Because I know I am up against everybody shooting on location.
Right. So one of the things I'm going to be doing this next season coming up is to work with a local videographer to essentially shoot behind the scenes and give me all his B-rolls and go from there, you know, essentially to
awesome.
Those things in future marketing. So that's the plan. So
yeah. So you're already there. You didn't even need me.
No, it's not so much that. I mean, I think.
But sometimes it's validating what you already know.
Yeah.
You're on the right track.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, what I always say to people is that we as humans need to hear things maybe three or more times to really sort of make things happen for us. You know, I'm a married man, so my wife has to tell me at least two or three times before it registers on what needs to be done next, that kind of thing, you know, right? So I feel like photographers are like that too. They've got a lot of wonderful ideas and you got to do this, you got to do that. And we're in a constant state of distraction in a way, but having a sense of, hey, this works. Let's follow this path and leaning more and more on creating these behind the scene videos is definitely on the very top of my list. You know, making sure that my audience sees me at work, sees the work being made and, you know, and sort of in process. I think that's super important, at least for those who are on the fence. You know, they're like, oh, I don't know. I mean, he's got a kind of a weird name, you know?
Yeah.
He's got some good pictures on the website.
Oh no, I think the name is actually a total differentiator. I think it's a I think it's a absolutely. I don't think that's anything to overcome. I think that is it's like Oprah or Cher. I mean, it's cool. I mean, Seishu, that's a cool name. Yeah.
Thank
so
you.
I would freaking lean into that like there's no tomorrow. But I would also, now I'm just listening to what you just said about, you know, that this is coming up, that you're doing this thing. So I'm going to challenge you because I think you are a little bit like me in that the perfect can be the enemy of the good, right? That, okay, I got to wait until I get this guy with his perfect B-roll. So I'm going to push back on you and say, okay, in the next 30 days. I want to see a post from you, an Art Strieber-ish post, but obviously it's going to be with your own flair, but like you problem solving an environmental shoot, even if you have to make it up, like you don't even have one scheduled, I don't care, of how you're trying to figure this out. And I mean, and then you, maybe you cut it together and it's like on your iPhone and it's down and dirty. And I think that's perfectly fine. And then have the sexy thing, have the sexy thing, have the sexy girl, have the real guy. And that's going to be like website material, right? But that's not going to provide your day-to-day social media. Cause I think you have such a presence on social media and you have the habit of continually posting, which most of us don't. So just what you're already doing, just wedge something else into what you're already doing.
Well, challenge accepted. Okay. Especially as tag someone who's not very comfortable on video, I am.
But you're so cute. Why?
Thank you. I appreciate it. But I feel, you know, as most people do, feel awkward in front of. I mean, I'm okay in front of a still camera. I can work that a little bit.
Sure.
But video, I'm just like, what do I say? How do I say it? Does everything scripted? And so many of these crazy thoughts come through, right? So, but I welcome your challenge and I accept it. I'm actually working on a personal portrait project that would, I mean, it involves photographing folks in an environment of their choosing, that kind of thing. So I am excited to just pop one of my iPhones and just sort of let it play and then do some little talking maybe in the middle. I don't know what we'll figure it out, you know? So
how old are your kids?
I have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old.
Okay, dude, the 17.
Yeah.
Throw him a bone. give him the freaking iPhone. He'll know how to do it better than you do. And he'll be like, Dad, that sounds totally stupid. Like just have him run it, help it, have him assist if he will, or one of his friends or whatever. And just like, you got to start somewhere. I think this could be so great because the thing is that I do feel like, I'm going to address the elephant in the room. In my mind shift group, I have a couple of a darling Ukrainian girl, Polish girl. We have girls that are from other countries that have accents. So they're not native, they're not, they are natural born Americans. Right. And so they're so worried about that accent being what is the word I'm looking for? Is it like a negative?
Deterrent.
A deterrent, right. Yeah. And so maybe a name that's hard to say.
Yeah.
You know, deterrent, right? But I really feel like it's an edge because it's something that you're kind of like, oh, that's immediately, it's like, that's different. And then you spin that narrative, right? Like as soon as you see that that's different, then it's like, yeah, isn't that awesome? And then you've got this big smile. You got this cute beard. I mean, like you've got style. I totally see that. But sometimes it's hard for us to see it because we're humans and we have all of our, neuroses and we're not good enough or whatever, or things that we think are going to hold us back, but it's usually never the things that we think. It's usually the things that are holding us back is all that fear about that thing.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think Seishu is a superpower. I think the full name is a superpower. I think the Seishu, the photographer, I love that. But I think to go to your high end, I think it's going to be the whole name. I really do.
First and last.
Yeah, I do. I think it's, or it's just Seishu. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like if you want to be Cher or Dolly or Oprah, So I think it's really special. And I want you to know that. Like, I really do see that. And I can see, I can see the future of how like you would just soar in your area with those C-suite executives, with families, with seniors. Like I think there's no top end.
I'll take that as a blessing and go with it. Really, I think that's where my mind is as well, is to really, use opportunities like being able to talk to folks who have been doing this very successfully like you and listen and learn and apply and then just sort of continue to move forward. I mean, I think of the first time I created headshots in my home studio and they were terrible.
Of course.
Terrible. Right. And I go back to them all the time and just as a lark and just to see what it is that I was trying to do back then and why those will not work in the least in today's market will not work. Right. I really, truly believe that everyone including myself, has the capacity to grow and grow small steps every day. You know, really, that's how my brain works, is to go, okay, what can I learn today, and how can I be of service to people today in a way that I wasn't yesterday, you know?
So true.
Really trying to reach out to people and help them out. But what you've said to me today about making a schedule, I think I'm going to take that and put that to work next. So
I love that. Well, and I think if we can, we give ourselves all kinds of grace when we're trying to learn photography, right? Because we know we don't know it.
That's right.
It's like, what's the shutter speed? What's the aperture? What's the light? What's the whatever? And then, you know, those first headshots turn out like crap and you're like, okay, well, but then I learned, and then you looked at it and you applied and you got better. And now you're doing these, like, you know, professional, amazing, gorgeous headshots, and you're getting paid top dollar to do it. So, which is great. But why we won't give ourselves that same grace in the business, right? Or the marketing, right? I mean, we can get stuck. If we go back to the learning photography, sometimes we're like, oh, I need another lens, or I need a better lighting. Or sometimes we can get like to where we're buying too much gear. I think the corollary to that in the marketing and the business is, well, if I just have the right CRM, if I just have the right process, and it prevents us from just doing it. Just get on your freaking phone, text some people, and rustle up some business. And then photograph yourself doing your environmental portraiture, put it at BTS, and start attracting that business.
Can I push back a little bit? I'm curious to know what your take is on, I mean, there are two different mindsets. When you're starting out, your mindset is not, hey, I'm going to try and make a business out of this. I mean, really, that's not where my head was. I was hopefully going to be a photojournalist and wanted to photograph documentaries. You know, that mm-hmm. was the big dream back then. At some point, and in that mindset, I think the mistakes that one makes as a photographer are almost welcome in a way, you know, because then you're able to learn a lot faster about what works, what doesn't work.
For sure.
And I think when it became a business, I think there may be that sense of fear of making a mistake at the cost of your client. You know, maybe that's it. I don't know.
Yeah. Give me an example of what you're saying. What kind of mistake could you make at the cost of your client?
An example that comes to mind is, this was at least 10 years ago. I photographed a beautiful family in town. You know, it didn't occur to me to check their last name because I heard it a certain way and I was like, oh, it's this. And I ended up printing like 150 Christmas cards with their last name completely like wrong, right?
Sure. And
I delivered it to him thinking that was it. I was like, yeah, let's go. These are beautiful cards. And then I got a call from the dad. He was like, this is not us. You know, this is not our last name. So I had to reprint it. Yeah, so no big whoopee. You know, really just being able to recover from that and make that work for them was sort of like part of the service, right? And
did it
cost me thousands of dollars? No. But at the same time, it was a mistake that made me look a little foolish, maybe, you know?
Sure.
And I feel like that may be why people are a little cagey, like me, and like a little cagey on making mistakes now, because we're like, we want to get every single thing right, making sure, you know, measurements. We go, I mean, this is the beautiful thing about going to people's homes now is that, you know, when they start to talk about wall art, I go to their homes and I take a measuring tape, right? Making sure everything is going to fit. Because the last thing you want is measure to order something that's not going to fit on the space that they have in mind. So really being able to do that the early mistakes have helped me correct for what I can do now, or what I do now, I should say, you know. But yeah, that's where I think we are. I mean, I don't know if that's an example that works.
Right. Well, I think, okay, so I asked you to give me an example of something of where, because you're like, I'm going to push back on that we're not giving ourselves enough grace. And so I'm saying, okay, that mistake, let's just say you've delivered 150 Christmas cards with the wrong last name on it. And so I find that some of my very best, like to the core lifetime achievement marketing is achieved when I've screwed it up, because it's how I handle that. When you just deliver it and it's great and it's right, then of course they're going to talk about it. It's amazing and great. Of course, what do you expect? Like, they paid for it, right? But when you screwed it up and then you fixed it in a, you know, whatever way, Mm-hmm. That's really like this guy delivered it. I could tell he was sweating bullets. It was the wrong last name. And then he, you know, flew in a helicopter over to our house and dropped us, you know, with cheerleaders and balloons on top of our roof, you know, whatever the thing was that you went over the top to fix it. And then you also, at the same time, as you fix that, you put into your process a way to never have that happen again.
Absolutely.
Right. So you learn just like you do with the craft of photography. To me, the business is as fun as the craft. I love the business part of it because it's a game. And not in a, like a taking advantage way, but like, how can I figure out what will make them the happiest? How can I serve them the best possible way? You know, and
I really love that too. I really love that too. I
think, and that's where your heart's at.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't know whether it was last year or the year before, I came to a point where I feel like my craft was starting to become like, okay, this is what I can do. This is what I love doing. This is how I do it, you know? And I was getting comfortable, I guess, in that. Not that I wanted to stop learning, you know, new techniques and things like that, but sure. I felt like that I was there. And then it was, I think, 2 years before I was in your course that I first saw something about your course. And I was like, I may have even emailed you and said, when are you launching this again? Because I don't think it was launched in a couple of years or something. And I was excited. And when I got that email saying, hey, yeah, we're opening enrollment. So only to say that I also enjoy now the idea that business is also something you can be creative at. You know, you have to really think along the lines of, okay, so business is going this way right now and it's not going well. What can you do to
How can I turn around?
And pivot into something else. It could be the genre is all wrong, maybe.
Yeah.
Possibly. I don't know. Or it could be that the environment has changed and, you know, for instance, there's lots of talk about headshots and how AI is going to take over the world with the headshot. I don't think it's going to happen, but that's a big concern for a lot of photographers who are even thinking of, oh, I want to be a headshot photographer, right? So how do you differentiate yourself and do things differently that your clients feel like you're really there to serve them? I think this is where my brain is right now, is to really think about business in different ways and creative ways.
Right. And to me, the answer to that is relationship. You know, it is, if you have relationships, like real relationships with your clients. I remember, and I may have said this on the podcast before, but I remember when they shut the whole country down in 2020 for the pandemic and just thinking, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We still have rent due. And like, you know, like everybody else, right? We were all freaking out. And then I just remember thinking, you know what? I have relationships with every single one of these clients. Like they're not going anywhere else. They're going to come back to me. So we'll figure it out. But there was just a moment where I just felt like it was almost like I had $1 million in the bank, even though I wished I really did. But it is like having $1 million in the bank because those people know, like your people know that Seishu is the guy. If I got to look good and it counts, I got to call him. You know, if I have a senior, you know, fill in the blank of whatever your specialty is. And so if you treat every client like it's a future relationship. Like that's what we're doing. It's not transactional. It's not, you know, efficient. We're not just trying to be efficient. We're actually trying to get at what exactly it is that you need and how can my specific skill set intersect with your unique need and how we can work on that together. And then we have a relationship over a period, over a lifetime, hopefully. That's the shtick. Like that's the key to the everything for any business, I believe, especially for a high touch custom business like what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think you have that, like you have the heart for that. If you have the heart for that, you need to be in another business because you'll never get where you need to go in this business unless you have that heart for it.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Every day is a good day to work on a business. And so I always think of it that way. Going back to the pandemic, which I know a topic nobody wants to talk about these days, what did you do for your clients who were in sort of in limbo as well? Were you able to reach out to them or did you reach out to them? And what did you say?
I did. And I'll give you a couple of examples. I have one client in particular who is very, I don't want to call her a germaphobe, but she's a germaphobe. She's like very just clean. She just is. And so whenever we've come to her house to install or anything like that, she always has us take our shoes off and she's wiping things down. I mean, that's who she is. And she's not apologetic about it. She's just like, hey, this is what it is. So when this happened, I immediately thought of her and I texted her and I said, hey, are you okay? And she said, actually, you know what? Because of how we live, we're great. Because I already know all this stuff. Everything that everybody's learning right now, I could give you a PhD on it, you know? So she's like, but thank you so much for reaching out. It meant a lot to her. Then I had another guy, client that I knew was heavily in the airline industry. He does like refurbished airline parts. And I knew they were shutting down all those flights from Europe and like all of that. So I reached out to them, said, hey, I'm concerned. Like, how are you guys doing? So just a few people, again, wasn't a MailChimp blast. It was like me laying on a couch, just reaching out to people. My sister, the interior designer, she did is for her like top 10 clients or whatever that she knew had kids at home. She sent them a little bag. They had these little connectors and straws that you could build like a fort out of these little straws and connectors. It was, you know, like that. And then magnet tiles or something like that. Put them in a drawstring bag and then dropped it on their front door, had a video of the girl that dropped it on the door, spraying it with Lysol because, you know, at the time they were, you know, worried about that. And then just sent her a video on your front door. Notice that we sprayed it with Lysol. Is it something for your kids to play with to keep them busy?
Wow.
They all posted that on social media. We're like, oh my gosh, you know, DDG is the best, you know. So it's just, what do they need? Like, you're a dad. I'm a mom. I know what people need and I want to check in on them. I'm a human being. You know, it's not like, hey, your kids are out of school now. I'll give you a 2-for-1 on your family portrait. You know, it just isn't that, you know, and then also where you're located. So we're in the West in the suburbs. So there's a lot of space between us and everybody else. We're not like in Manhattan. Yeah. And then we also have a wide diversity of political opinion, right out here. So we knew that everybody that was pretty far right was like, hey, we're golfing. We're doing everything. We're not changing anything. So we knew, okay, great. You want a book? We're going to shoot all summer. And I'm shooting, but we're still letting everybody know I'm shooting with a 70-200 lens. I'm 30 feet away from you. We'll come in separate doors. And then for people that were more cautious, we would highlight, here's all the precautions that we're taking. So not to go back to pandemic, but like that's anything that you're dealing with. Like, where are the clients at? Where are their heads? It's not what we want to do. It's what do they need aligned with what we're good at and how can we help them?
So for a while, you know, I kept hearing about custom portrait sessions, which is what I think we're talking about here in a way.
Yeah.
Right? Is that a phrase that is now more common with people? Do they understand what custom portrait sessions mean?
I'm not sure I understand.
Jargony?
I don't think it is. I mean, I just say it's a portrait session.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of implied that it's custom because I'm not shooting it of your neighbor. It's you, you know?
True. But do they understand that it is collaborative and it is involved in the sense of how we have talked about in the past, you know, like how you talk about in the course, you know, being able to go and have a consult and, you know, work with them in a certain particular way? Do they understand that that's what custom portrait session means versus we have, you know, day at the Christmas day farm and that kind of thing, you know, which is not custom, of course.
So. Right. Well, yeah, it's like more mini session, limited edition kind of thing. Yeah. So, I mean, that really is usually conveyed in that first call, you know, so where, you know, tell us what you're thinking, what kind of project are you wanting to work on? Where are these images going to live? This is how we work. This is how we can best help you. Our clients that are most successful, you know, have the best outcome, do it this way, you know, and then we just bring them into the process and they either like, oh yeah, sometimes they'll say, oh, I want to let me just come in for the consultation before I book and see if this is a fit, which is great. Others will be like, you know, say she's my best friend. I saw what you did for him. Yep. Just put me down for May 11th and let's go, you know, but we'll still do a consultation, of course. But, you know, so some of them are or I've been following you for years. We've been waiting to do this. They know they want to do it. They aren't on the fence. Yeah.
Right.
It's been fun to watch, you know, what you're doing. And I'm really excited to see where you're going with this environmental portraiture. I think that could be, because I think, you know, we had this, you know, 2003 was the first year that they sold more digital cameras than film cameras. And then we had the whole, you know, the whole industry went digital, right? And then it seemed like everybody went to this like candid and photojournalistic and that kind of, and everybody's saying they're photojournalists, but some really are, and some have really bad lighting, you know, and some aren't that great. And like I said, sometimes the clients can't tell the difference, but I do feel like it's time for that to make a resurgence, but with some education on what makes good and what's not good.
Indeed. Indeed.
That's worth paying for.
I hope so. I hope so. I really do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be great. I'm excited for you. Anything else before we go? Anything you want our listeners to know, or any words of advice for newer photographers that are just starting out?
Yeah, you know, I think when it comes down to it, there's, in my mind at least, you've got to be slightly obsessed with what you're doing and who you're doing it for. You know, you have
for
to
sure.
be constantly thinking about not just your craft, but also the business, and understanding that, you know, like we started talking about today, you know, it's a quiet time in New England right now, and business seems like it's, you know, it's disappeared practically, but it's not true. It's right there around the corner. And
sure.
You have to just prepare for it. And when I say prepare for it, I'm talking about, you know, those wonderful sales that come in November and December. Don't go crazy spending it.
Yep.
Right away. You know, invest, of course, in your gear if you have to before the year ends and things like that, as I did. I bought a couple of new cameras and because I was starting to shoot more sports, I needed something new. But I also made sure that, you know, there's enough water. It was not a rainy day right now. It's not raining right now. So here we are, you know. I'm not worried about things. I'm just like, I just keep working and keep marketing and keep going and meeting with people, you know, really this afternoon and about half an hour, I'm meeting with somebody who I've never met before, who just reached out through LinkedIn and said, hey, let's have a cup of coffee. You know,
that's
just
awesome.
Do those things, you know, go out there, meet people. It's just amazing how absolutely wonderful conversations, even things that are not tied to business, can lead to things in business when you just let it happen, you know.
I think put yourself out there a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say that would be my advice to fellow photographers, you know. And last thing I would say is be involved in your community. You know, there are so many organizations that are in need of great photography, and you could just pick one or two that you can actually be of service to.
Yeah.
Don't make it about money. Don't make it about an exchange of any kind. Just be there for them and help them out. You know, get them recognized. Inevitably, they're going to tag you on a post or, you know, talk about you in a board meeting and say, oh, this photographer just stopped by and said we can use his or her photographs in this particular manner. And that opens doors, you know.
Sure.
And I've had that happen, you know, with several organizations. I didn't mean it to go out that way, but it worked out organically that way, you know.
Yeah.
And I grew up, I mean, my parents are like huge givers. And so being able to give back to the community has always been in my DNA, I think. If someone says, hey, looks, I can't even afford you, but can you take a headshot of me? I've done that for college students who are just graduating. You know, I just feel bad. Like, I remember being a college student. I remember how difficult it was, right? So I said, okay, let's just do this. And, you know, who knows? 5-10 years from now, they could be a CEO of a company, you know?
Sure.
We never know. So,
right. Well, but you're also priced appropriately and charging appropriately
yes.
in the other areas of your business.
Oh, yes.
It allows you to have the facility
Correct.
To do that, to do the, that's oh, what, yeah. like, that's my free or full price, you know, mantra is like,
yes.
I'm able to gift and to be philanthropic at the level that I am because yes. of, because I charge appropriately.
100%. 100%. I'll be honest with you. That's what's running through my head. And I say, this is why I can do that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, and I'm starting to let my clients know that this is what I do in my community. I want
sure.
them to know that, you know, I'm not just, you know, like just here to take their money and run off, you know?
Absolutely.
I'm really here to support a community that should be thriving despite the craziness that surrounds us every day, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we will not even go into that.
No, we won't.
We're going to just cut it right there. No, but yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's so fair. So a couple of points that you just made that I want to highlight before we sail off into the sunset. And that is that when the getting's good, when you want to make hay while the sun is shining, but you also want to stash a little of that hay for when it's not. And when you know that, you know, you've been in business for a long time, when you know that there's certain times of year that are less busy than others that tend to be a little bit of a dip, you can freak out about that every single year. Ask me how I know, because I have. Or you can save up and know that, okay, this has got to get me through, you know, January, February. And then during that time, that can be your education time. That can be your time to clean your studio. That can be your time to prep, sharpen the saw, you know, to use Stephen Covey's metaphor, and do other things, or just take a break. Yeah. Just take a break.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's not necessarily a bad thing. And then also pouring into the community, I think, is a way, is like sharing the hay. Mm-hmm. You know, and then that people want to work with people that are giving back. And that's a virtuous cycle. So I love that. I love that you were raised that way. Similar, my parents were big servers and, you know, church and community. So agree. Totally agree with that.
Thank you, Allison.
All right. It's great to have you. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
Take care. Bye. Okay.
Bye-bye. So just to recap this conversation, I just want to highlight some of the concepts that I think were important after Sasha and I chatted today. And one is that don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. So often we think we have to have the perfect piece of software, or that we need to organize some big email promotion, when really all it takes is just sending a few texts to some clients to let them know that you're thinking about them. And that it really is as low tech as that, as low tech as letting people know that you're considering them, that you're thinking about them, that they're on your radar, and finding ways how we can best help our best clients. So don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And then also the idea of that when times are good, don't spend all your money. Save up a little and have enough to get you through a slower month so that you can take some time off and rest, because when we're really, really busy, we're really, really busy, and it takes a lot out of us. And so that's the benefit of owning your own business, is being able to take a little bit of time off and have the money to do that. So I hope that you got a lot from this conversation today. I really liked Sashu. He's such a great guy. And I wish it was video, because he has the best smile. And I think he really conveys that energy. And he has lucky, lucky clients. So I really appreciate him being here. And I'm looking forward to his future success. Hey there. Did you happen to catch the free masterclass this week? I loved seeing so many smart, motivated photographers there. The comments were crazy with aha moments from photographers who finally realized that it was actually possible for them to create a profitable, sustainable portrait business built around their very best clients. They left that class motivated to make some real change in their studios. And if you didn't make it, I would love for you to join them. We have our last free masterclass available on Wednesday, April 16th, noon Pacific time, 3 o'clock Eastern. That's Wednesday, April 16th at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern, for our client upgrade masterclass. Go to dotherework.com/masterclass and sign up. It's free. Honestly, I have a theory that most of the people who are really killing it in this industry are people that we've never heard of. They aren't rock star photographers shouting from the stage. They're just normal people like you and me who've built a profitable, sustainable business around their unique photographic style and their best clients. I know, because I've helped many of them do it. I also have a theory that one of the biggest things holding photographers back from making big change in their business is fear. Fear that it's just not possible for them. And it shows up in so many insidious ways. I've heard my work isn't good enough to command those prices, or this just isn't possible in my town. Or I can make changes in my business, but if I do, I'm going to lose all my clients. Is there a magical way to make all these changes without fear and worry? Well, you know, I'd be lying to you if I said that there was. But I want you to know that I've had those same fears and concerns. And that's why I want to share what I've learned and implemented in my own portrait studio with you. I've lain awake at night worried about raising my prices. I've worried about how to talk to my clients about new session fees. But because 100% of our family income comes from portrait sales, I had to make those changes to make my business profitable. And I had to find out a way to talk to my clients about it so that I didn't lose my business and I didn't lose all of my clients. And I can help you do that too. And if I can do it, Little Miss Math Challenge, People Pleaser, Scaredy Cat, you can do it too. All I'm asking is that you believe that it's possible because it is. Now, whether you come to the masterclass or not, there's two things I want to talk to you about. Masterclass, dothereework.com/masterclass. That's the free client upgrade. Masterclass. But you may have also heard about our Art of Selling Art course. We only open it once or twice a year. This year, we're opening it once. It's specifically for portrait photographers who want to make a great living doing what they love for clients that love them right back. So for those of you who've been on the fence, maybe you've heard of Art of Selling Art or you've been waiting for it to reopen, I would love to have you in the course with us. Go to dothereework.com/enroll and get all the details. You can sign up there right away. If you want to join me for the free masterclass before that, go to dothereework.com/masterclass. Either way, you're going to get information that you need. But if you need a little more than one free masterclass, the Art of Selling Art might just be what you're looking for. You're going to get access to 6 step-by-step sections that will take you from doubting yourself to making more money and having more time with your family. You will also get 6 weeks of live online Zoom calls with me so that you can get your questions answered quickly and keep your momentum going. And then you'll have membership in a private Facebook group just for our students, a focused community helping each other be better. If after all of these last few crazy years that we've been through, and despite all of your fears, you are ready to do this, then do it with me. I'd be so honored. And I think we can make huge changes in your business and your life. So here are your options. Come to the last free masterclass, Client Upgrade, on Wednesday, April 16th at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. That's dothereework.com/masterclass. dothereework.com/masterclass. Or if you've been waiting patiently for the Art of Selling Art course to open again, go straight there, dothereework.com/enroll. Join me and let's rework your business together. To get all the details on that, go to dothereework.com/enroll. Honestly, it is time to start making the income you hoped to make when you started your portrait business in the first place. There is an art to the business as well as the art of photography, and I would love to help you create something beautiful. dothereework.com/enroll. dothereework.com/masterclass for the free masterclass, or dothereework.com/enroll for the Art of Selling Art. See you there.
You can find more great resources from Allison at dothereework.com and on Instagram at do.the.rework.